Diaz.
I'll try not to curse too much then.
It's okay. I say fuck all the time.
It's only a passion, so it's all right. Let's go.
Well, passion is a good thing. Yeah, get a bit closer to the mic and be... and feel free to project, because I project.
It's okay. Yeah, you are really loud. I know.
It's just what I do.
It's okay.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Goff, and today I am joined by a very special guest indeed. This lady is a jack of all trades. She is a very smart business lady, but she does mentoring work. She's all about community and does all sorts of stuff. It's Candace Oliver. How are you doing today, Candace?
I'm really well, thank you.
Now, I should have checked earlier. Did I pronounce your surname correctly?
So, tricky one on that. My surname is actually Afrikaans, so no one pronounces it correctly because it is pronounced Olofia.
Ah.
However, I will settle for Oliver or Olivia.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm glad. I probably should have checked earlier, but I didn't. But you didn't take offence, so we're all good.
I don't. And the more times people misspell it or missay it, the more times I can get out of trouble. So I'm all right with that.
Fair enough indeed. Now, as you said, Afrikaan, clearly you are not born and raised here on the Gold Coast. You're from Zimbabwe. Now, the only two things I know about Zimbabwe is political unrest and they've got a terrible cricket team. So I don't know much. So what was it like growing up in Zimbabwe? Can you educate us?
Well, you were correct on the first one. The second one clearly shows that you've never met Andy Flower, but we once upon a time did have...
A wicketkeeper batsman doesn't count as a great cricket team.
We once upon a time had a fairly reasonable cricket team, but yes, you are correct.
And swimmer Kirsty Coventry, of course, is
for the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But, sorry, I interrupted.
Go on. No, that's absolutely fine. So, yes, I'll give you the little rundown. I was actually born in the UK where my parents met, and I moved to Zimbabwe when I was aged 3. And I lived there until I was 17 and then moved to Australia. So a fair chunk of my life was spent running wild in the third world country of Zimbabwe. Do you know what? It's a really beautiful place. Anyone that's been there will share this common feeling that everybody has, and I suppose that's where my sense of community came from, is they call it the spirit of Africa, and the spirit of Africa lies in the breadbasket of Africa, which once upon a time was Zimbabwe. It's a really beautiful place, humbled by amazing people, amazing landscapes, and... You know, today people might see a little bit different, but what it has been seen as and what it will be seen in the future, I would like to say the near distant future, but I'm going to roll with distant future because of the current situation. It did mean that I grew up with lions and elephants and the big five in my backyard, quite literally, as my mum actually runs a conservation camp. So they run safaris. And as I said, I had these animals on my backyard. So I could go on forever about it. But, you know, we're here. I know we have a limited time. So if there's any other questions you have about it in particular, then feel free to throw them in the time.
I'm just curious, as a child, I mean, it wouldn't have been a childhood like I had, clearly, because of a raft of different reasons. So I'm just curious as to what it was like growing up as a kid in Zimbabwe. Obviously, it's normal to you because that's what you experienced. But what was it like, you know, now that you've been around the world and you've seen different things, how would you sort of sum it up? As in your childhood sort of years in Zimbabwe?
I would say that they were the best years ever, actually. There's a lot less pressure growing up as a child in Zimbabwe. However, the academic system is very good. So it's not in terms of its education. We've got a really strong curriculum. We do base it off the Cambridge system. So other than that, you know, growing up in Zimbabwe is a really beautiful place because we don't actually have as much racism as people see, and we don't actually have as much unrest as you see in the media. Yes, we do have political unrest. It is apparent, but not to the degree that a lot of individuals would say. And growing up as a child, you don't know anything different anyway. So, you know, spending time in villages and taking underprivileged, uneducated kids off the street and, you know, sharing your text, your homework textbooks with them, and, you know, sharing your leftover sandwich that you didn't eat at school that you know you're going to get in trouble for was not an uncommon occurrence. It gave me a sense of unity, not as, you know, the definition might define it, but more so in a unity of we are all together and you are together. So it's actually what you make of it. So I created this unity between myself and the village community by embracing myself into what they were doing, not assuming that they would embrace themselves into what I was doing.
Cool, very cool indeed. And so you said you moved to Australia when you were 17. Why is that? Why the move?
So my dad's actually Australian. So my mum and dad met while they were travelling in the UK and had two children, my brother and myself. And after they separated, my mum wanted to return back to Africa. And so that's where I had my childhood. Upon reaching, you know, 16, 17, it was time to really take into consideration tertiary and education. And in Zimbabwe, we don't actually have a university. And, you know, a combination of that and also my brother having some learning difficulties, he's almost completely Australian. No one would even guess. But growing up, he was very floaty. He's very good with his hands, but you could never keep him in a classroom. And I know for many... that's, or many parents, that's a common occurrence. But my brother would tell people, like, my mum locks me in a cupboard, so therefore that's the reason why I haven't done my homework. So he was really crafty in his excuses. Thinking back to it, quite thankful we weren't living in Australia that time, because I think the circumstances might have been a bit different. But, you know, getting back to it, he was going through that adolescence period, so as much as I was as well, but... you know, obviously being male and female and those differences at that time, my mum made the very hard decision to send us to Australia and didn't want to separate us, because I'm actually one of five, so there was three more kids that followed, but didn't want to separate us, sent us to Australia for, you know, a better life and to be in the land of opportunity. And although I didn't see it for the first few years, I'm really glad that she did.
And what did you study? Because I assume, like you said earlier, you came over mainly for university. What was your study? What was your sort of passion? Where do you want to go?
So actually, when I moved over here, I went into the schooling system for a little while, realized that it wasn't for me, and I wanted to work. I wanted to become something. And I suppose growing up in Zimbabwe and, you know, not seeing the opportunity as a pathway at that time to go to university, because we don't have one, when I was presented with the opportunity to work and become something, I really leaned into that. So I got a job really early on in hospitality, and, you know, from being in that space of customer service, I just knew that I wanted to have a business that was driven around creating beautiful customer experiences. And at the time, I thought it was going to be a restaurant. So I actually went on to study business management as well as hospitality and event management. So I started off there and, you know, did that study and actually went on to having my own restaurant one day, but that's a different story. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Now, how I met you, of course, was through the Karma Collab Hub, which I think is just a really, really clever idea. Can you tell us about the Karma Collab Hub, what it is, why it began, and all of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, cool. So it's a creative co-working space that's based here on the Gold Coast, and it houses a number of different free-thinking entrepreneurs, business startups, and creatives, as well as artists or people in digital arts. And as we've progressed as well, as you'll know, performing arts as well, we've now ticked that box too. The reason I created it is as I had moved to the Gold Coast just nearly 4 years ago now, I found it really difficult to find a community of people that weren't necessarily had to be entrepreneurs themselves, but just the entrepreneurial thinking, you know, being able to understand that opportunities lie everywhere and it's up to you to pick up the baton and run with it. So I, through a couple of months and networking, I had met a number of individuals that I identified as good people for me, people that I wanted to surround myself moving into the future. And I thought, as my business grows, I'm going to need more space for more staff. And I couldn't find a location at that time. So I put a couple of pieces of the puzzle together and thought, I'm going to start a space and I'm going to handpick these individuals that I'm meeting out in networking environments and put them all together and see what magic can be created. And it's the business itself is nearly 3 years old now. The first year we stumbled through it. It was very, very much dread by the community and what the community wanted. So if you said, hey, Candace, do you have this? I would think to myself, if we didn't, how can I make that happen? Because if that's a demand that needed to be met, then obviously I wanted to lean into that space. And sometimes we weren't able to accommodate for certain things. But in the most cases, it's been beautiful to watch the space grow because it's the community that's allowed that to happen and has driven all the changes.
That's why I think it's so clever, because you've got so many things under one roof. So if you've got a pottery studio, you've got a podcast studio, you've got space for exhibitions, you've got just phone booths so, you know, people can go in and do their own thing. You've got just workstations for people that need to. I mean, there's so many different things under the one roof. It's like a really multi-purpose kind of building. I think it's a really smart and clever idea. And I just think it's...
Thank you. Yeah, it's interesting because as individuals, we continue to grow and expand. And in our businesses or in our... missions that we're on, the things that we desire also expand. And it's been beautiful to house so many amazing humans that they're really there to create change, they're there to follow their dreams. And we've been able to navigate the journey for them by manipulating our space to accommodate whatever the need is at the time. So it's a really interesting journey. So as I said, the first year we sort of fumbled through it. The community allowed us to grow. And in the second year, I had the opportunity to speak on stage with a couple of change makers in Christchurch. And I met this individual who was telling me about how he had created a school for entrepreneurial underprivileged youth in Madagascar. And I really leaned into that idea. I knew nothing about web development and coding, but I could hear the passion in his voice, and it was the same passion I had whilst I was driving my own enterprise. And I decided to collaborate with him. So in our second year, we actually converted our business strategy to be a social enterprise. So being social enterprise, what it means is that we're for purpose, for profit. So what we decided to do is support that organization that's called Onya with the proceeds from our event hire and merchandise sales. So it's been beautiful because we now have this ecosystem that allows the entrepreneurs, creatives, and artists that utilize our space to fund the education of these underprivileged youth to follow their dreams, to go on to be web developers, et cetera, because they get taught how to speak English and code over 2 years. So it's a really beautiful ecosystem. So the space itself is a house for many. It's been an interesting journey. We've had lovers that have met. We've played Cupid. We've held, you know, over 200 events. We've had musicians play. We've had people cry, scream. It's just, yeah, it's been a really interesting journey.
And is it fair to say that you focus probably more towards the arts than other sort of avenues? Is the arts something that's really important to you?
Oh, 100%. It's really important to me. Sometimes I've got to remind myself, a lot of people will come into the space and they'll ask who the designer was, and I have to slowly put my hand up. And I suppose it's an imposter. I'm not a designer. I never studied anything, but I definitely have a passion for interior design. I have a passion of making spaces feel comfortable. So, you know, just being able to have that outlet myself in the space has been important because I've got to feel what a lot of other artists do, and I can now relate to being able to have that experience and being able to play in the creativity. So I wouldn't say, though, we necessarily lean towards the arts more. I think that we sit really comfortably in the beginning because a lot of the artists that utilize our space are also on this journey of creating that as their career. So they need to understand and learn the foundations of how to ensure that what they are creating is also profitable or can be a full-time career. I hate to hear the phrase struggling artist. And, you know, it almost brings me to tears sometimes when I have conversations with really passionate artists about their journey and what they're doing to put a roof over their head and, you know, food on the table. But their, you know, their big dream is just to paint or to sing or to create, and they don't actually see this as a tangible option for the rest of their life. So for us, it's really important to be able to sit in that space to be able to educate and support people in that space. So I think week to week, yeah, we might lean into a bit more business or a bit more creative, but we're definitely conscious of bringing it back to a center and bringing things back into balance. I also think that a lot of entrepreneurs come up with their innovative ideas in the space of creativity. So we definitely encourage more activities for people that are in that business space to get creative. And then again, for people that are in that creative space to sort of, you know, put pen to paper and set goals and create a budget for themselves and things like that.
Cool, cool. Now, you also do some mentoring work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I've fallen into it over the last couple of years. You know, I think I'm one with many. I hate being labeled as a coach because that space has been diluted. But I got into mentorship simply by being able to identify a couple of the things I just mentioned. You know, people coming up to me and having these conversations around what their dreams, their goals, their missions, and their values were, and also what legacy they wanted to leave behind, but not really sure of how to navigate that process. And I mean, I'm no professional, but I've definitely, you know, I've started businesses that have failed. Like I said, I had a restaurant for a year. It was my first attempt at a do-good business, social enterprise. And I've started a lot of, I've started a lot of fires. I've put out a lot of fires.
Metaphorically, you know, we should point out.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not an arsonist or a firefighter. It's a metaphor.
No, definitely not. Should have clarified that. But it is it's a statement. It's a statement that I like to throw around sometimes. I love to start projects, so I do use the phrase, you know, I start fires and put them out almost just as quick, quite often. So just by starting a lot of projects and being, you know, I started people like I'm multi-passionate, I'm multifaceted. I've done a lot of things in my short time that I've been on this planet so far. So I've navigated around being super resourceful. I think that also comes from growing up in Zimbabwe and, you know, challenges of going without things like electricity and water for days, as you would expect in a third world country, to also sort of being the MacGyver of my household and the MacGyver within my businesses. So my mentoring is very casual. It's based on a one-on-one basis, and I really like to identify what legacy people want to leave behind and how we can put actionable steps into place over whatever period of time they feel is reasonable. I used to want to push people really hard because I believe that without somebody keeping you accountable, you can fall back into your comfort. Also being Zimbabwean or Afrikaans, I can be quite blunt. And I'm sure to anyone that was listening that has ever had any dealings with somebody who is South African, they will be having a good chuckle to themselves because it's something that we get identified by quite often. But I do believe in that accountability part. So anyone working with me, I let them know that it's tough love. You don't put yourself in a position to say, hey, I need help, or hey, can you give me a hand? This is what I really want to achieve. And then expect to be cuddled along the way. It's really about pushing forward and, like I said, putting in some actionable steps to achieve what they want to do and just getting a bit more clarity. Sometimes we get so caught up in what we want to create and what we want to do that we forget to see the pathway. And, you know, by putting in those actionable steps, we know that we've got one or two things that we can work on at a time and we don't get shiny object syndrome by moving around and then actually achieving nothing.
Yep, absolutely. No, I fully appreciate that. Now, if people want to learn more about Candace Oliver, That's what I'm going with. Where can they do that? What can they do?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me across socials by my full name, actually. So I've just made it even more complicated for you, which is Candice Jade Olivia. And just to clarify, the last name is spelt O-L-I-V-I-E-R. I know that's by spelling that out now, I probably won't be able to get in as much trouble. So across my socials by my full name, Candice Jade Olivia, or if you're interested in the co-working space that we mentioned earlier, it's called Karma Curlab Hub and can be found across all socials using that handle or by searching on Google.
Yeah, no, I do encourage people to especially check out the, if you are in or around the Gold Coast area, obviously people who are listening overseas, they can't, but come and check out the Karma Curlab Hub because it's a really smart business idea for a start, and then it's a really cool place. Beer Nuts Productions actually does all of its rehearsal work and audition work and all that sort of stuff there. I hire a space and I use it myself. So, yeah, and it works out fantastic for me. So I can only recommend it. So make sure if you are on the Gold Coast, you do check it out. But, yes, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for coming in, Candice. I really do appreciate it.
My absolute pleasure. And thank you as well for supporting Karma because, as I mentioned before, it's the support that we get from our community that allows us to support the kids over in Madagascar.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But I didn't know that was what you did, but now I do. I just used it because I like the space. But, you know, money's going to a good cause, so that's even better. So that's really cool. So, but yes, that brings us to the end of the podcast episode. Make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment because that's always nice. Rate and review. 5 stars is always helpful, of course. And, of course, Beer Nuts Productions is your one-stop shop for all your entertainment needs. Thank you again, Candice, for giving me your time today.
Thank you very much.
And until next time, we shall chat to you then.